Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined by my co-host, Cody Thompson.
How's it going, Pat?
Cody, and our frequent guest, Chris Jensen.
How are you doing, Chris?
I'm great.
The three of us together again. We've got Tracy Noble, our producer, and our engineer, Matt, in the room. And we are here to talk about, what's our topic today, Cody?
The topic is, don't make me repeat myself.
Yes. It's something that we've heard from our parents over the years. We've said it to our own kids if we have them. And it's something that plenty of managers want to say to their employees, I think.
Right.
Probably some have. But the truth is, most leaders just don't like the idea of having to repeat themselves. But as I like to say, if you're a CEO, you're also the CRO, which stands for Chief Reminding Officer. And whether you're running a multinational company, a startup, a department within a company, a church, a school, or a family, you are the CRO of that organization. Your job is to make sure that the people in your charge understand what is important and what is happening. And if you don't do that, no one else can. It's one of the most important jobs of a leader. And yet, as I said before, most leaders don't like to repeat themselves. And that's a problem. And it's the topic of today's podcast.
Even as you say that, Pat, it's like there's a real cost to this, a tangible cost that every organization and team goes through if their leader balks at the responsibility of being the chief reminding officer.
Right.
And it's a day-to-day cost that it causes massive problems in organizations and ends up for people to like get fired or get frustrated at work or get a bad performance review. There's a hundred different reasons to do this.
Or employees just are confused about what's going on. They leave and they go, nobody ever told me what was happening. Mm-hmm. See, the cost of under-communicating is so much higher than the cost of over-communicating. And yes, most CEOs, leaders of any kind of organization that I know, will complain about having to repeat themselves and to remind people of things. And yet nobody leaves an organization like, oh no, he repeated himself again. I'm out of here.
That's one of my favorite things you say is nobody ever left an organization because their manager reminded them too much or over-communicated
right.
to them.
You know, you hear this in parenting. People will say, and I've had people say, yeah, I think you tell your kids you love them too much. And it's like, so, because, you know, it's not going to have much of an impact. It's like, oh yeah, let's just say it once a year
right.
to get full right. impact of that. And how many kids go, yeah, I had a tough childhood. My mom and dad, they were just telling me they loved me all the time. Drove me crazy.
Well, right now, my six-year-old says that almost every night. Yeah. I know, Dad.
Right.
You tell me all the time.
And it's like, that's okay.
That's okay.
Well, there is something, it's funny because even in your speeches, Pat, you talk about this and how important and critical it is for leaders. But you say often that people need to be told something seven times. I mean, this is part of a research, right? Like
yeah.
people need to hear something seven times before they actually hear it or
internalize it.
And I always add this little caveat at the end, which is like, it takes only three or four times of you saying something to feel irritated.
Yeah. You know, and it used to be six. I mean, right. I think like 30 years ago, 25 years ago, I remember before we started the table group, I heard somebody give a speech and they said, people need to be reminded in an organization. They need to be communicated to six times. Mm. And then I heard 25 years later, it's up to seven.
Right.
And I believe it because the problem is everybody hears things once or twice. You know, leaders say things like, well, employees are our greatest asset.
Right.
Or quality is job one or whatever else. And people go, yeah, yeah, yeah. The last person who worked here said that too. But it's until they've heard you say it again and again, and you've just relentless about it in different ways over time, then they start to think, oh my gosh, I think she's serious this time. Or I right. think this guy's right. serious. And yet, leaders are like bored after the second or third time.
What I find amazing is it seems like the more you're promoted, like your trajectory of your career goes up, it feels like the general sentiment is I should have to say things less. And less. You know,
yeah.
like somehow your word has more weight now that it's a CEO, so you only say it once. That's what the general sentiment is out there. When in fact, it's the exact opposite. You're now the CEO. You need to have constant reminders to everyone in your organization about what's important.
Yeah. All of this begs the question, why? What makes a rational, intelligent person who understands that people need to hear things again and again, who's maybe a parent in their personal life and knows that their kids don't hear them when they say, you have to pick up your room every day.
Right.
Or mm-hmm. make your bed. Or do your homework and go to bed by a certain... We know that people need to be reminded. And then they get into a position of leadership and they say, well, I gave that talk at the opening meeting
right.
of the year.
Right.
I don't think I should have to say anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why do you think? And I think there's a couple of reasons. One, I think some people are really hung up on efficiency and they're like, that's inefficient. Right. If I say it twice or three times, that's words and time that I could be using on something new. It's inefficient. And that's just a terrible trade-off because you're valuing efficiency over effectiveness. If they need to be reminded, it's not
inefficient. Yeah, if it works, you should do it.
Right? And the irony is that the number of times I see leaders or managers then get frustrated with their people that they don't remember, and you're causing us to become inefficient if you would just remember, as if they don't have a role in all that.
I was talking to the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company yesterday, and he was complaining about the people on his team not understanding something he was trying to do. And I said, so you need to tell them that.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, they should know. I said, I know, but see, they should know from you.
Right.
And he's like, no, I shouldn't have to tell them. It was racking my brain. I was like, what in the world? And they were saying, no, they should figure this out on their own. And I thought, well, you're their manager.
Right.
Well, in that efficiency versus effectiveness, I don't mean to trivialize it too much, but like I have a 2-year-old daughter. When it's time for bed, I repeat 6 or 7 times, like, okay, I'm going to turn off the light. I'm going to lay you down. I'm going to rub your back. And then Dada's going to leave and you're not going to cry, right? And then, right. And then every 30 seconds leading up to that moment, I'll say it because that's what's effective. You know, like,
That's what I do.
And yet too often we just, you're right. People get irritated around the inefficiency of it. And it's like, the cost is way too high.
And of course, we're not talking about literally repeating ourselves, like saying it again and again, like in rapid sequence.
Right. No. But in different ways.
Right.
In different circumstances. I even think there's a chance that a lot of leaders, I've seen this where they'll have a conversation with 7 different people and say the thing one time to 7 people individually and think, I'm constantly repeating myself.
Exactly. You know?
And until you're in front of your team, in front of your organization saying this repeatedly, you're not doing it enough.
Exactly. Right. That's a great point.
You know, so that's one reason, the efficiency. The second one, though, is I think that people honestly believe, like, I'm insulting my audience. Mm-hmm. They think that their audience is going to be insulted by being reminded of something. And they're going to be like, oh, they're going to think I think they're stupid.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel this, you know, like I give speeches and I'll be like, oh man, some of these people might have heard this before. And the people will come up and go, that's the 4th time I've heard that. Every time I forget stuff, I'll go to another one of those speeches. So we as the presenter or the communicator think that we're insulting people. But then again, how many times have you seen a comedian do the same act again and again and found it ridiculously funny? We forget things. My favorite movies I've seen 15 times.
Seriously.
And every time I go, how did I not remember this scene?
And yet we have this term that we throw around here. You know, the 5 dysfunctions has been around forever. You've given hundreds of speeches on it. But then when you think about it this way, like if you go to your favorite band's concert and they were like, well, yeah, you guys have heard our best songs, you know, on repeat for the last 10 years. We're just going to play the new stuff. You're like, oh no.
Right.
I want you to play this stuff. Like, that's why I came here.
Exactly.
And yet we all want that in our lives. But then as leaders, we're like, yeah, this is, maybe we're insulting the audience. No, they're here for us to over communicate.
They want to hear it.
And again, no employee has ever left and said, that manager just told me 1 too many times how important I was.
Right. You know, and Pat, it's funny because you and I have talked about this. We call it a defect, one that shows up in good moments sometimes, but we say that we're classic over-explainers.
Yes.
You know, you and I in meetings, we'll look around, and if there's even one person that looks like in our meeting that looks like they're not quite on board, we'll just keep going. And then at some point, everyone in the meeting's like, no, we get it. You guys can shut up now. And we're like, okay. We weren't sure. We weren't sure if everyone
And you know, it's interesting because certain people are under communicators based on their personality style. My wife, who I love dearly, who's been on the podcast. So if I sound like I'm making fun of her, it's because I am. But she is an under communicator. Mm-hmm. And this would happen. It still happens in my family. We have 4 boys. Some are out of college. Some are still in, just started high school. And she will go, remember, you have a dentist appointment in 3 hours. And they'll go, why didn't you tell me? Yeah. And she says, I told you. I'm like, when? And she goes, 3 months ago when I made the appointment. Right. And it's like, no. But she always, and it's classic. She is an introvert. And she's like, well, I told them I don't want to have to, I shouldn't say it again because they know.
Right.
It's like, oh no, assume they don't.
Yeah.
And yes, I annoy my kids sometimes by repeating myself. And so they're going to complain no matter what. Better for them to complain and say, I got it, than go, I didn't have any idea.
Right.
And even as you say that, it's sort of like when you talk about the different mediums and different messages, like it can be a post-it note on the fridge and you tell them and you remind them the night before, you know, like when you think of that in the context of work and leadership, we talk about Gary Kelly all the time, Southwest Airlines.
Oh, yeah,
he writes the note at the beginning of the Southwest magazine.
Yep.
And he's said, I bet if you archived all of them, you know, all the magazines over the last 10 years,
yeah, it would be interesting. Like,
if you did like a word cloud, all the words would be huge, you know, like he uses the same message and he says it a different way and it's just reinforcing it. And it's great.
And you know, the employees at Southwest do not get tired of him over communicating like what we're doing. Remember, these passengers on our planes are going to an important event in their life. And you play a role in that, whether you're handling their bags or booking the ticket or you're on the plane or you're flying the plane. That's your job. Nobody goes, enough of that, dude. Right. They're like, that's why we like working here. Because see, he means it. And he's reminding them. You remember what Samuel Johnson, the 18th century writer, once said? He said, people need to be reminded more than they need to be instructed.
Right.
And yet all of us want to be an instructor that says something for the first time. But somebody has to keep reminding people.
This reminds me of something that you say all the time, Pat. You say people need to be reminded until they believe you.
Right.
And I think this is why Southwest Airlines is, why their employees love it so much, is the leadership, starting with Gary, has gone past the point of just repeating to annoyance. And they've repeated it so much internally, you know, when they listen to him, they believe that he cares about those things.
Right.
So it's authentic. It's coming from a true place of belief.
Well, absolutely. I think it might actually surprise, because this is theoretical and practical simultaneously, you know, like the theory behind people needing to be reminded. But I think it would actually surprise people if we said, do you know that every meeting, every single meeting that the table group gets together, we go over our question number one, why do we exist?
Right.
To make work more fulfilling. Like, right. That could seem so trivial. If we're in danger, if anyone's in danger of insulting the audience, feeling like you could feel that way every time, Pat, but you lead us through the four questions.
And it's not like kindergarten.
No.
You know what I mean? Because that's gross. But I remember the first time at a meeting, I said, you know something? We should go over these questions up here. And I remember having that feeling like they're going to go, oh, this is so stupid. And every time we do it, something comes up where somebody goes, hey, you know something? That's really important for us to keep in mind, because what we're doing this week, it has to be tied to that. So there's nothing juvenile about that. People are glad for the reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, but you said something. People don't want to be made fun of.
Right.
See, and that's what I thought that day. They're going to go, Pat, who do you think we are? You know, what do you? And the thing is, I like to say this. If your people make fun of you because you over-communicate, you should take that as a badge of honor. I like to say this. If you're a good leader, your people should be able to do a good impression of you when you're not around.
Right.
And like, my kids can do a hilarious impression of me. They'll make jokes when they're here in the office, and Matt works here now, and they'll joke around like, oh, Dad used to say this all the time. I never feel hurt by that. I always feel like, I'm so glad.
Right.
Well, you know? I'm going to put Chris on the spot. Do your best Pat impression.
No. Yeah, seriously.
Or we'll bring Matt over here. Yeah. No, I mean, the truth is, we could. I actually feel I could do a Pat impression, you know?
And I would be like, yeah.
Right.
Unless, of course, you said something stupid that I say. Which, I guess you could do that too, actually.
No. The impressions are meaningful because it means that you've repeated yourself. You have a similar cadence, tone, topic. And when people hear that over and over again, I'm sure Southwest Airlines employees all the way down to like the frontline people at baggage claim could mimic Gary. You know, like could do an impression of Gary.
Or the old timer is definitely the way they talk about Kelleher, the founder. Yep. They always talk, they can anecdotes, stories, they have some reference point of him and how he showed up.
And think about this. How many leaders is that true about? How many companies go, oh yeah, it's almost none.
Yeah.
And so here's a guy who does it well. Alan Mulally was the other guy that we always talk about at Ford Motor Company. He turned around a company that was about to go out of business, saved an industry. He did it by constantly repeating himself.
Yeah.
And if you know Alan, he'll come up, and we know him well. He'll come put his arm on your shoulder and he'll tell you something. And he said, remember, Pat? And you go, so if that works,
right?
Why don't we all do it? Well, because I don't want to insult my audience. I don't want people to make fun of me. I it might be inefficient.
Right.
Or the last one is because I'm bored saying that.
Right.
Mm. It's like, oh, so your job is to entertain yourself.
Yeah.
Not to inform the people that work for you.
I actually think this one might need to be bumped up the list.
You think the boredom one is the biggest?
I think that a lot of leaders are like, man, I want to think of something new. I want a new plan. I want a new strategy. You know, Southwest Airlines, this isn't a commercial for them, but they have had the same system and value set and communication plan forever. And they're winning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it does feel like a lot of leaders get enticed by the whole, I'm done with this message. I want to move on to something new.
Right. You know, we talked about this before that we did the podcast today, and that is, if you were to go to most employees, let's say you lined up 100 employees and said, how many of you think that you get enough communication from the top of your organization? Oh. I mean, I got to think if two or three of them said, I get enough, or and ask them, anybody get too much?
Pat, no, this is not even theory. The number of employee satisfaction surveys I've read in the last 10 years,
yeah.
I cannot even count. Now when companies send me, they say, oh, before offsite, you need to see our employee engagement survey. I'm like, I can already tell you the top three. And I always start with, let me guess, we're not communicating enough.
Right.
Always right. The number one
cancel
feedback
your survey and
every
just write
single
that down,
right. Just write this down. You don't need a survey. You're under communicating.
And if I went to that CEO and said, how about my goal is for you to get people to go, enough already.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, nobody gets even close to that. So why is it that we don't want to go over that line? It's so crazy. I think the boredom thing might be a big part of it. They're like, it's just not that interesting.
You know, it reminds me, one of my favorite stories around this topic is you mentioned this in your book, you know, the advantage, and you talk about it in your speeches. There was one CEO that came up to you after one of the speeches and who said, I kept repeating myself to my executive team so often that they were like, okay, move
oh,
on.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, can you get something new for us? And he's like, and then I read it in your book and I circled that page and I brought it into my executive team. And I was like, see, I'm the chief reminding officer.
Let's do a commercial. That is a company called, believe it or not, it's a great company too, but it's called Worldwide Technology, sounds like something from Seinfeld, you know, but they're a great company out in St. Louis. And the guy constantly over communicates, and even his own team was teasing him because they get to hear it every day.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what do you think somebody two or three or four levels below, they're not hearing it at all.
Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe that's the other problem, is they're using the wrong people as a barometer of whether they're communicated enough.
Right.
The people that
see
you every day.
The survey says we're not hearing enough.
And
if the executive, you know, like that's a great application of this, is like, how far is your megaphone reaching? You know, is it just 1 degree? Or is this trickling all the way down?
You know? I think this gets to communication in general. I think about marketing. The best companies, marketing companies, repeat themselves.
Right.
And they stick to a message. I mean, can you imagine somebody going to Nike and saying, well, that Just Do It thing, probably like after 6 months of that, like, that's just, you know, people have heard that enough. Just change it.
Just change it.
And brand equity is about reinforcing things. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And yet, but people that are too smart for their own good, they think, well, and it's more fun to change things and to come up with a new idea, but to have the courage to stick with a message that is real means you're putting the effectiveness of that above your own sense of feeling smart or entertained.
Right.
Yeah. It does go back to, Pat, I have your book around the motive and what people's responsibility, whether they're a responsibility-centered leader and they feel responsible for the organization, that they're going to lay down their own interests for the interests of what's best for their organization, the people they lead, or if they're a reward-centered leader and they're like, hey, listen, this is no longer fun for me. I'm feeling like I'm repeating myself. I'm bored, whatever it is. If you don't have that mentality as this is a responsibility, why would you?
Right.
Why would you do this? Why would you over-communicate?
Gosh, you know, I think about it. Like, imagine that your last child has moved out of the house and you go back and think, what would you do if you had to go back in time? And knowing whatever their challenges are, you might very well say, I probably would have made sure they understood this. You might look back and go, I don't think I gave that to them enough. I mean, I look at that, my kids, and I think, man, if I could go back, there's things that my 22-year-olds are going through right now that I should have said more about that.
Hmm. Yeah.
And so if you're a leader and, you know, like, you look back at the last 5 years or a project that just got launched and it didn't go quite well enough, you'd probably go back in time and said, I should have said more about that.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so let's start being so wise about this that we never leave communication off the table. We over-communicate. Let's make people start to punch us in the nose because they're tired of listening to us.
You know, we've had some fun, like, emails that come in over the last couple podcasts and stuff, and we didn't talk about this beforehand, so you can poo-poo the idea, but I actually think it might be interesting to have people say, like, have someone at your office do an impression of you. Is there something that they can do that, like, that you repeat yourself enough on a singular topic that they could actually repeat back to you? It'd be fun to hear some of those stories.
You know, let's do a recording of the people in our office doing an impression of me next time, not in front of me. I mean, so they might be.
Yeah, we could. I was going to say, if I were to put on the spot to do one,
I'd love to hear this.
It would be are we working on the right things? Are you sure you guys are you sure we're working on the right things? That your ability to always pull us up a level and go, hey, let's reprioritize. Let's make sure we're, you know, thinking about this at the highest
stage.
That's
so funny, because what I would have done is I would have said, okay, hold on. Let's just think about this before we go into this. Like, let's just pause. Let's really think about what is this?
It's like, Pat, we're going to lunch.
Right.
Okay, you don't have to say that.
Or I need context. What's the context?
Yeah, that's the one. What's the context for all this?
And but that's great. It serves us so well. We do that, you know, and you are also the main, you know, trumpeter of the fact that our mission is the most important thing. Like we are out there making a difference in people's lives and trying. We say it at the beginning of every podcast, you know, we're out there to make work more fulfilling. People have jobs that are miserable and we want to change them.
And I have to say, every time I read the intro, I think, should I keep reading this?
I know.
Yeah. But it's like, it's worth it to remind ourselves and remind us and our audience why we're doing this. Be the chief reminding officer, mm-hmm. whether it's your family, whether it's your department, your team, your organization, your company, whatever else it is, remember this, you can almost never over-communicate.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to avoid boredom or avoid people making fun of you. You're not going to insult your audience, and it's not inefficient. It's just effective.
Yeah.
So I think that brings us to an end of this podcast. Chris, thank you for joining us. Thanks to the whole team. And we will see you next week on At the Table with Patrick and Choni. God bless.